The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Honey, the online shopping platform that helps consumers save time and money, is building a Boulder office and looking for software engineers to join the team. Find out more at joinhoney.com/careers. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. We have a unique startup and tech community here on the edge of the Rockies, and we want you to know about it. The Boulder Tech Podcast features conversations with leaders, thinkers, and influencers, sharing their views on what's happening in Boulder's rapidly evolving tech scene. These interviews were recorded during the 9th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind, anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Episode number 16 of the Boulder Tech Podcast features Marco Viena, COO and co-founder of Smart Capital, a company making it possible for anyone to invest in venture capital funds. We sat down to discuss how the democratization of investment leads to better startups, a life-changing decision Marco made when he was 21, his thoughts on Boulder politics, and how Boulder and its tech community can defend against becoming just another tech town. Marco, tell us about your work. What do you do?
I've always, through my entire career, I've been creating investment platforms that were really democratizing investments where people can invest in high returning asset classes that typically aren't available to non-accredited investors, which is anyone that makes less than 200 grand a year, so most Americans. And the current iteration of that is Smart Capital, where we're enabling anyone to invest in diversified venture funds.
In other words, it allows people with not a lot of money to put at least something into these VC funds.
Precisely. And, really, there's a lot of people right now want to invest in startups, and a lot are, but there's this thing called adverse selection that's happening, where that means the really good companies can go raise money from the good VCs as it is. So there's all these other crowdfunding sites out there, and the lesser companies, this is a generalization, I'm sure there's some good ones, but generally these aren't the best startups that are going and raising money from these non-accredited investors, where if we create a fund, we can attain better startups. That's what we found.
How long have you been doing this?
Since January. This is pretty much brand new.
And how's it going so far?
It's been tough, honestly. Mainly because from a regulatory standpoint, we're trying to work really closely with the SEC. That's what I've learned from my previous investment platforms. It's good to work with them earlier versus catching them up later. Mm-hmm. But it's an arduous process.
What is the hard part? Finding the investors or matching the investors with the funds, or just dealing with the bureaucratic red tape?
So far, the hard part has been the SEC's job is to protect investors, which is great. And they do a pretty good job at it most of the time. And for them, they don't know a ton about investing in startups. So they've enabled non-accredited investors already to invest in startups. And we have to prove to them that diversification and enabling them to invest in a lot of startups at once is actually safer.
It seems like that would be a no-brainer, actually.
I agree, but it's making new laws and changing things they've already written is very hard.
Right. Do you see them coming around, though? Are you feeling like there's progress and it's just a matter of time?
I think the timing is really good. I think that the unknown about all of this is, you know, in any startup, you have a limited amount of runway, and we have no idea how long this will take.
And so I guess it seems like it's maybe a matter of luck and timing. Well, I guess that's probably the case with investing in general.
Right. If we can get over the regulatory hump, this is going to be big. Like, we have a lot of hype on the investor side. Companies want money. Surprise. So if we can get this approved, I'm really excited.
How many people do you have working on this?
We have 3 co-founders. This company was originally started in a local startup studio called Boulder Bits. A startup studio is, a lot of people think it's like an accelerator, and it's really not. It's where a team of entrepreneurs that just start a few companies a year from complete scratch. So I was actually working at Boulder Bits, and I was working on a few different companies, and Smart Capital was just too compelling, and I had to jump ship to work on it full time.
What were you doing in Boulder Bits before you jumped into Smart Capital?
Yeah, I was vetting startup ideas. So trying to kill them as fast as possible was actually our philosophy. A lot of entrepreneurs will do anything to make their startup survive, but we had the opposite philosophy. Like, well, we need to try to kill this, and if it doesn't die, then we're onto something.
Right. I did. I talked to Jake Hurwitz from Boulder Bits, awesome. And he told me about the Bad Ideas Slack channel.
Yeah. There's some ridiculous stuff that goes in there.
So Smart Capital was a Bad Ideas Slack channel survivor.
It was. It was something I put in the Bad Ideas Slack channel, and I had to keep pushing the team. Like, this is something that I think is going to work, but we tried killing it, and it was time to move forward with it and invest in it.
So I heard you speak at Ignite last night, the series of talks that Andrew Hyde, who also founded Startup Week, puts on. And you talked about how you dropped out of college. Summarize that talk
a little bit. So when I was in school, I was working on really my first company, and it started taking up all my time because it was going really well. And I decided, ironically, it was my 21st birthday. I just felt this sense of urgency when that important birthday rolled around. I was like, I need to move on and really start my life and not spend a couple more years in school. And I dropped out, and that was an easy decision at the time, but there was a lot of pressure on me from other people pulling me in a lot of different directions. Like my parents, of course, wanted me to finish my degree. I really wanted the company to do well. I didn't want to, you know, show my face back at school if the company ended up failing. That would be embarrassing. And my company didn't want me to go back to school, and I had to, at the end of the day, the biggest learning was I needed to figure out what I really want for myself and take other people's influences out of that. And I was able to be happy with my decision of running my startup once I made that realization.
And how many years has it been since then?
Let's see. It's been 4 years, 3 years, I think 4 years, yeah.
And any second thoughts or doubts about that? Or you feel
no,
like that was definitely
I'm
the
so
right
happy.
Decision?
Like, it's just, especially the startup community here in Boulder is so amazing and have really helped me and believed in me, where if I moved back to Palo Alto, for instance, that's a really tough place, especially with someone as young as me, for people to believe in me. Where here, people are less ageist, I guess.
And why do you think that is?
I don't know. Like, I think people here have a lot of diversity of thought, which is really amazing. There's a lot of different people in Boulder that work in the startup scene, but also in all these different other categories of business. And we all really just believe in each other and help. Like in Palo Alto, it's more, you know, who are you and what can you do for me? And here in Boulder, it's more, who are you and how can I help you?
That's a great way to put that distinction. And that echoes a lot of what I've been hearing this week during these interviews is, you know, the accessibility and the helpfulness. It seems like a pretty unique thing and pretty special. Do you think that that's something that will even deepen in the Boulder startup scene as it continues to mature, or maybe actually work in the...
This is one of my favorite subjects, actually. So Palo Alto, when I was growing up there, was actually kind of like Boulder. You know, it was a good place to bootstrap a startup. Now it's not. And now as Boulder matures, it'll be interesting because more and more corporations are moving in as they acquire startups, as they understand Boulder's a place where people want to live and work. And if it happens in like this Goldilocks zone of growth, like not too much or, you know, don't limit it enough, I think it's attainable to scale the current ethos around the Boulder startup scene of helping each other. But if it becomes overly expensive or overly corporate, we could really be sad to see what Boulder turns into. But I think that we won't let that happen.
You think there'll be vigilance among the current or existing startup community to kind of defend against that?
Absolutely. My biggest concern, which is a heated topic, is actually city council. A lot of people don't focus on local politics enough. Mm-hmm. And those people aren't very focused on business or tech. They're mostly quite older people that don't have any experience in it. And they are passing a lot of policies that could ruin this.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, as someone who's lived in Boulder a long time, I've seen a lot of change, and the last election was a very interesting period of time there.
Yeah, like I originally went to college for political science, and mm-hmm. I've always been really involved in like federal and state elections, but I really love Boulder, of course, and I got involved in the recent election, and I was just stunned to see like the majority of people voting are over like 60 years old, and that's fine. Like everyone can vote, but I'm surprised that the younger generation doesn't pay attention and get out and vote, because arguably the things that city council pass has a more effect on your daily life than anything that the federal government's doing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like there haven't been any huge elections lately where we see very clearly that elections have consequences.
Absolutely.
It was interesting because, you know, you could say that a certain segment of the Boulder population, including a lot of members of council, are trying to defend Boulder from the tech community, the tech community's impact on the town. And then you're saying that the tech community will be ready to defend Boulder from the big corporations when they start to come in and suss it out. And it's just kind of an interesting continuum.
If you get too, you know, I have nothing against these larger companies. I actually think they can fuel startup growth because people leave those corporations to start their own companies. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But if there's too many of them, they have more money. And if they take over downtown Boulder, like they have like downtown Palo Alto, mm-hmm. you can't bootstrap a company anymore because it's too expensive. Right. And that's my overall concern.
I guess some people would say though that Boulder is already there, that it's already too expensive.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fair. Yeah, I think that it's still good. You can still find fairly affordable housing in parts of Boulder. Mm-hmm. But if that goes away, then you're going to lose a lot of potential talent.
Right. No, it's a razor's edge for sure. You know, how do you maintain the things that make Boulder Boulder and make it a desirable place to live versus, you know, accommodating
right. And on that note,
demographic.
On that note, I think the most amazing thing about Boulder as a place is that everyone's very commingled. You know, there's of course like people that work at restaurants and, you know, the people that go and work at REI and the tech scene, and there's a lot of food and you name it. And sure, that's, you can go find that in any city. But for some reason, Boulder, everyone like knows each other and has very diverse friend groups. And that's so special. And I think that really galvanizes a lot of amazing intellectual conversations and ideas. And that is what I love about this place. And if that can remain here, this will remain this amazing place.
How do you see things changing here? If things were to go ideally, what would that look like to you?
People think Boulder is this really progressive place. And we need to start acting like it. And I think that the people want that, but we need to really start enabling. The most important thing is affordable office space and affordable housing. If you can do that, I think everything else will fall into place and remain this very diverse place.
That's a tough one.
I know.
Because there's so many people coming and, you know. And
well, here's the issue that a lot of people don't really think about. And this is why, for instance, Palo Alto got so expensive. It's a geographical issue. So in Boulder, you can't grow up, mm-hmm. which is, I respect that because of the views, and we don't want a bunch of tall buildings. And you can't go to the west because of the mountains, and you can't go north or east or south because of the land we're protecting there. So if you can't build anymore, then as demand goes up, it gets more expensive. So we need to purposely set policies to enable people to be able to afford living here.
Right. Which is going to basically, I think, look like more three-story mixed use or condos, you know, lining Canyon, lining Arapahoe.
Yeah. And I think that luckily Boulder's, the city planning is pretty impressive. Like the people they've put in place, not city council, but the city itself. And we'll see what they do. And on that point, like on Canyon, like for instance, because I live at like 4th and Pearl, and on the west side over there, on the creek is the jail, for instance. It's like, you should probably put homes there in the jail, like out in East Boulder or something. And there's little things like that that mm-hmm. will make a big difference. And I think they will do this, stuff like that.
Do you think that the last election, it seemed to me like, oh yeah, Eric Budd's definitely going to be elected. Yeah. And all these pro-tech people, there would at least be some some of them would get through and make it onto council, and I was really shocked that it was really a pretty total wipeout.
This was the problem. Love Eric and love a lot of the other people that were involved. We backed too many people. And I think because if we put all the votes that we wanted towards maybe two candidates, three candidates, I know everyone got five votes and I know how that works, but if we really cut it down and were like, these are our people, I think we could have had a better outcome.
Do you think that the result of the election is going to motivate the tech community to get more involved in the younger?
Unfortunately, no, because no one knows about it. Like we do, but in our echo chamber, we're very involved. Mm-hmm. But most people don't care, or they don't care, but they aren't knowledgeable about what's going on. So we need to do something different. And I don't know. We have a year and a half to figure it out.
I mean, it's almost frightening in a way. Mm-hmm. That people aren't waking up to what's going on and getting politically, at least become, not if not politically active, at least becoming a little more politically aware.
We'll see.
Yes. Anything else you'd like to add about anything? Startups, tech, Boulder, whatever?
I think that Boulder Startup Week is so amazing. And I think that what I've seen this year that's different is that the last few years it's been very beginners, what I'd call it. Like, oh, you know, which is good. Don't get me wrong. Like, let's get people to want to work in startups. But it wasn't really cultivated for the entrepreneurs that are already more established. And that's fine. Like, that's kind of the purpose of Boulder Startup Week, is to get people involved from the get-go. But this year, it really serviced everyone. And I thought that was a great advancement. There's way more advanced stuff for the people that are on their fifth Boulder Startup Week, for instance. And that was really cool.
Excellent. Marco Viena, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was awesome.
That was Marco Viena, COO and co-founder of Smart Capital. Follow him on Twitter at Marco G. Viena. Learn more at smartcapitalx.com. Episode number 16 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week design track sponsor, The Trade Desk. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week platinum sponsors Matter, Zayo, Google, and Boulder Engineering Studio. We're also presented by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for the recording gear. Our intro music is by EchoDeck, that's ECCODEK. Hear more at echodeck.com. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@thevibrarian.co. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.